Hallelujah. Glory to God. By the way, those of you that have access to the internet, thank you. I have an expanded teaching on that passage there. It's called Servants Upon Horses. And you can print it out at your home computer. It's just a written lesson. By the way, there it also talks about folly being exalted and the rich sit in low places. See, what's going on in the church pretty much is that the soul is running everything. What he's talking about. And it's not just in church. For the most part, it's in our homes. We're so used to being led by our soul, our intellect, our reasoning. But see, the heir of God, the rich man, the true heir, is your born-again spirit. So what we've done, we've exalted the servant while the rich man sits in low places. Boy, if we ever get a clue who we are, where we're from, why we're here, and the inheritance that the Lord has given, shared with us, made a joint heir. You notice it doesn't say sub-heir. Joint heir. We're going to look at a passage that talks about that tonight. I better get to praying because I feel the teaching coming on already here. Glory to God. Just pray with me for a moment. Well, Father, I'm going to pray that prayer again because we sure do like the results. Father, I'm asking you to give me the mind of Christ and make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I could speak forth His mind with simplicity and so clearly that the wayfaring fool could not misunderstand it. Father, I ask you to anoint the ears of the hearers with ear salve. Cause the clamor of the world to grow silent now, where they can hear with their spirit what you're saying to them individually, and to this church, and to the body of Christ at large. Father, more than anything, we want you to have your way here tonight. We thank you for your spirit filling this place. Father, the service is yours. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, Amen. Now, I wasn't going to do this, and I wouldn't do it because I don't really see it as being a part of this series except for this. Well, let me just flat tell you, the reason I'm about to do what I'm about to do is during the worship, the Holy Ghost told me to do it. Is that enough reason? And I don't exactly see how it ties in, but in a little bit of a way I do. Go ahead and be turning to Matthew 10. I'm going to do this, and then we're going to... I'm going to do this, and then I think we're going to get into the teaching. We'll see what happens. While you turn into Matthew 10, let me tell you this. Of course, these lessons that we're doing this week are... I think the title we're going to put on them is something like Receiving Instructions from the Holy Spirit. Something like that. Could be instructions from home. Instructions from heaven. I don't know. We'll leave that up to those that are in charge of that. But now see, we're not just teaching this to have another nice little series to send out. I know in this church you're past the point of just having itching ears. Yeah, I just want to hear something new. I don't want to change. I just want to hear something new. That's not you guys. I know that already. Now, see, there's a lot of people. You know, Jesus did give to His body. Gave gifts to men, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, governments, helps, so forth, administrations, and tongues, and diversities of tongues, and on and on and on. You know, but there's a lot of people that claim to be various things. You know, and I figure if you watch them a while, you ought to see the fruit of that. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that phrase that the pastor coined. Is that a first for tonight? Or instead of prophesying, he called it prophelying. And there's a lot of that going on. Now, I know a lot of folks that claim to be prophets. If they're prophets, I'm a Jersey cow. Okay? But I do know personally one prophet. I mean, like where I could phone him up and talk with him. And no, it's not Kenneth Hagin. That would be great. I would love that, but he's not the one. People ask me that. I don't know why. But it's not him. It's not somebody you would know. Well, Gary, how do you know he's a prophet? Oh, that's easy. I've been watching this fella for 23 years now. And when he stands in his office and gives a word of the Lord, in 23 years, I've never seen him wrong. Would you call that a prophet? Well, right before the end of the year 2002, he called me, and yes, sir, I'll see how this part ties in. See, one of the things we're talking about is how to receive instructions from the Holy Ghost. We have talked about, just quick review, we've talked about the gifts of the Spirit is one way. A word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Remember that young lady I was ministering to, she asked me to pray for her, that she'd be able to have peace with her parents at Christmas time. And the Lord just gave me that verse, which was, eat what is set before you. And I'm not going to teach that again. Didn't seem to be related. But it was a word of knowledge that went directly for the jugular of the problem. And for her, it was also a word of wisdom, because then she knew what to do. So the gifts of the Spirit are one way. We've been looking in the book of Acts. Dreams and visions is another way. The Holy Spirit will speak from within. The number one way we're led, by the way, is our conscience. Some call that the inner witness. That's okay, too. I had a young man one time, and he says, he's really got a call on his life, and he's really got especially a calling to gospel entrepreneurship. I haven't forgot the prophesying. I'll be back to it in a minute. He says, brother, people at the prayer center just call me Gary. And I like that. That's okay. You can call me Brother Gary. I even let them call me Pastor Gary. It's okay. Whatever. Anyway, he said, Gary, I just can't seem to hear the Holy Ghost. Really? Yeah, he says, I know. And he's right. He does have a call to gospel entrepreneurship. And he says, I know I've got a call to that, and I know I've got to be able to hear him. I said, well, you got that right. And boy, if God's called you to make money in the world where the sharks are, you better learn how to fly with the Holy Ghost. You know, if you're gonna swim with the sharks, you better fly with the Holy Ghost now. Fly with the eagle. So I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, when was the last time that you know for sure that you did something and your conscience gave you trouble about it? You know, you was about to do something and your conscience warned you, and you know. He says, me and some friends, we were about to go to a movie the other night. And, it wasn't really a bad movie or anything. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, my conscience didn't give me trouble about that particular movie. It wasn't anything bad, really, that I knew wrong with. It wasn't like R-rated, X-rated type of thing. But he says, just as we was about to, you know, we drove in separate cars, and as we was about to go in, seemed like I heard my conscience or that inward voice saying something like, no, don't watch that movie tonight. I want you to go back to the prayer center and pray. I need you to go pray. And I said, well, what did you do? Well, I went in and watched a movie with my friends. So I had to tell him in love. Yeah, really in love. I mean, I didn't get on to him. I just you got to tell the truth to folks. I said, friend, you don't have a trouble hearing God. You got a problem obeying God. Now, if you keep that up, it's not that the Holy Ghost, through your conscience, will quit talking to you. But what will happen, you'll begin to sear your conscience. You'll have a real hard time hearing Him. Okay? Well, anyway, this prophet friend of mine, he called me up. The reason I was reviewing a little bit, because gifts of the Spirit is one way, the inward witness, that's why I told you about the conscience, visions and dreams, sometimes you hear a voice, but let me tell you this, here's another way that sometimes you get instructions from the Holy Ghost. See, the ministry of a New Testament prophet is different from the ministry of an Old Testament prophet. In the Old Testament, your normal Israelite, your normal believer, can I say it that way, had no capacity normally to hear the Holy Ghost. If you know, the Spirit moved upon the prophet, and at times upon the king, and upon the priest. And they had the Urim and the Thummim, and God had various ways of getting this done. So normally, if you really needed to hear God on any matter, you needed normally to find a prophet. Okay? Now, the difference in the New Testament, if you're born of God, we just looked at this the other night in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, now that you received a spirit, a nature which is of God, you have the ability to hear the Holy Ghost yourself. So obviously the ministry of the prophet's a little different in the New Testament, although we still have prophets and it's a valid ministry gift. Now, normally, see, I have people say all the time, "Boy, I wish God would send a prophet to my house. I hear about these prophets, and I know God gave gifts to men, and one of them is a prophet. I wish God would send one to my house." I've had them come to my house, real ones. Let me tell you, that may not be the most pleasant day you ever had. Let me tell you about a New Testament prophet, a real one, and why God would send you one. See, you have the capacity to hear God for your own self. He's talking with you. Don't tell me He's not talking with you. Your shepherd is not being silent. And He's talking with you. There's times He's saying, "Come away, my beloved. Let's go pray. Let's spend some time together." "Yeah, but my favorite TV program, Lord, or whatever it is." You know what I'm saying? But He's trying to get your attention. And if you would give Him the time, then He would start straightening you out. Because what's happening, you're starting on a path where there's wolves out there. See? Safety for the sheep is to stay real close up right behind the shepherd. Wherever the shepherd's going, you stay right behind him. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know, the wolves come, you take that staff, he'll bop them on the head. Amen? But if the shepherd's going that way, and you decide to go that way, you know, and you just persist and persist and persist, what I'm saying is you're not listening. Or you're hearing and like my friend there, not obeying. And you're getting further and further out there. You get out there far enough, that's where the wolf lives. Boy, he's out to kill you. Now that's when normally he'll send you a prophet. You're headed for destruction. You're at the point now you won't listen to God, won't listen to your pastor, won't listen to your mother. You know what I'm talking about? And that's normally when he sends a prophet. Now I can't speak for all of them. I don't know all of them, but I know the ones that he's used in my life. Here's the characteristic of a prophet. See, they're not pastors. Pastors have a nurturing nature. They look the sheep over. I love the way Tim Stemple describes the shepherd in Israel. When it would be time to bring the sheep into the fold at night for protection, that sheep gate is only wide enough for one sheep at a time, and the shepherd will straddle that gate right there, and as the sheep come through, he just kind of closes his legs around the sheep's neck lovingly. He looks the sheep over. He speaks to it softly so it hears his voice, and he's looking it over. If he finds where it's been cut or hurt, he's got that flask of oil and wine. He'll look it over, you know, and make sure it's okay, and pat it on the head and send it on there for safety to sleep during the night. Now see, that's the ministry of a pastor. And that they're nurturing. Prophets? Oh no, 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 no. Their ministry, they have no gray. There is no gray. There is black, there is white. There is truth, there is lies. His job is to deliver, "Thus saith the Lord." And when he's through delivering that to you, he has nothing in him to try and get you to do it or not do it. It's basically, the Lord says this, do it or die, and let's go have lunch. Because I'm done. That's the ministry of a prophet. You'll find out. I'm telling you, it may not be the most pleasant day you ever had. Now that's their primary function. Okay, in the New Testament. But now also, the real ones, they do see things to come. They see things very accurately. Because that's just what their gift is. Well, this prophet, I've had those times where God would send a prophet to me to correct me because I'm headed the wrong way. But this wasn't one of those. Everyone say, thank God. Now this time, the Lord had spoken something to my friend that he felt like I ought to know. because we minister at various churches and travel. And here's what he said. Sounds real simple, but it's very profound. Listen to this. It was right near the end of the year. In 2002, the Lord's tolerance of religion is through. In 2003, my people shall know me, and they will be free. Can we praise the Lord for that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. One more time. In 2002, the Lord's tolerance of religion is through. In 2003, my people shall know me, and they will be free. Hallelujah. Get the white hanky for the Lord there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, isn't that a good word? Boy, everybody's rejoicing. I've had a little time to meditate that word and pray about it my own self. You have no idea the war that's coming based on that. Now, you in Matthew 10? Let me tell you what's going to happen based on that word right there. Now, see, we hardly anybody ever preaches on this passage. And the reason why, there's not been real reason to, because the Christian church has been like a sleeping giant of complacency. You know, we've prospered to a certain point. And, you know, it's not like we don't have any gospel. We do. Bless God, people can get saved. They can get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And if we can have that much power and still have this much of the world, well, that's a pretty good deal. You know, I'm sorry that we can't get Tommy out of the wheelchair and the cripples to get up, and the blind don't see very often and the deaf don't hear, and we can't really prove Jesus is alive to a Muslim or a Hindu because we don't have any power. But we got a pretty good gospel, and you know, if we can have that much, just enough to get people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and still have this much of the world, you know, I don't really need to change my prayer life, and I sure don't need to get into that fasting stuff. And so what we've had is a relatively powerless gospel that's becoming less, has been in the past, becoming even less powerless. You know, every move of God, every denomination out there started with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And it didn't take but one or two generations for the devil to beat the life out of it and make a formless religion out of it. Now, I tell you, that trend is reversing. And according to that word of God, it's reversing now. These messages about hearing the Holy Ghost will become your life. Now, let's look at Matthew 10. So you don't ever hear anybody hardly teach on this passage. Everyone thinks Jesus, Prince of Peace. Everyone say that. Jesus, Prince of Peace. And He is He not? But look at this. Matthew 10, verse 34. And I could start a lot earlier than that, but just for sake of what He wants to say, this will do. Matthew 10, 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. When's the last time you heard a message on that passage? See, now that's part and parcel of this word. What He's coming with is the sword of His word to carve out from a formless dead religion with the name Christianity on it. He's come with a sword to divide. And He is going to carve out a remnant of people that are willing to lay down their lives so that they can have His life. Paul said, how many of you want the life? Hold out your arm and pat it, your physical arm. You got one? Hold it out there. Paul says, We have been delivered all the way to death so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal body. Now, you can't have the second half of that verse without having the first half of it. We all want the life of Jesus. When we touch somebody, kapow! We want blind eyes to open and deaf ears to hear and the lame to walk and every maimed to be made whole. Don't we, Marie? That's what we want. Amen? But you can't have that without the first part. See, in the King James it says delivered. We are delivered all the way to death. And some newer versions, even of the King James, puts an S on it. Like always, that's not what it means. What it means is, as far as I'm concerned, I'm already a dead man walking. I'm already a dead man walking. I have no dreams apart from His. I have no aspirations apart from His. And Jesus was exactly that way. I don't do anything but what I see my Father doing. I don't say anything but what I hear my Father say. Now that's what it's going to take. And the Lord's come with a sword. Now watch this. And if you think religion's going to be happy about that, who was it put Jesus on the cross? It wasn't the Romans. It wasn't the people, your average person in Israel. Who was it stirred them up? Religion. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And if you think they're going to rejoice when the life of Jesus starts manifesting in your mortal bodies and you start messing up their doctrine big time, what kind of doctrine? Oh, the day of miracles has passed. Please step aside while Jesus manifests in my mortal flesh. Now, suddenly, they only have two choices. Repent and admit they've been wrong and preaching a false gospel. How many of you think is going to do that? Some will. But that's the only... They either got to do that or they got to get rid of you somehow and shut you up. Now that's what Jesus is talking about right here. You know it's true. You know religion come after the 12. Just like it come after Jesus Himself. They're going to come after you too. You better know that. Look at verse 34. Think not I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now get this. He that taketh not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. I believe in unity of the brethren, don't you? I think it's great when we can get along. But I'll tell you what God's not calling for. He is not calling for unity when that is forced by compromise of the truth. God is, He is truth. He cannot lie and He can't be a party to a lie. And I like to be liked as far as is possible with me. I try and walk in peace with all men. But brother, if you're going to stand there and tell your people tongues is of the devil, you and I are not going to be in much peace. Now, and I am not going to unify with you by compromising the truth. Now, I don't know how God's going to do this. I mean, I'm not God. Thank God He's smart enough to do it. But He is going to carve out that sword He's talking about there. Boy, I can see it just coming in to carve out a remnant. Say, these are mine. These are holy unto my Father. These are mine right here. I can see it. I can see it. That's what we're coming to. So that word that sounds, everywhere I've said it, the first reaction they have is, oh, glory to God. In 2002, his tolerance with religion is through. In 2003, we'll know, my people will know me and they shall be free until I tell them this part. See, to walk in that, if you're going to be one he carves out, you're going to start hearing his voice like we've been talking about this week. And if you're going to be part of the remnant, you're going to change. Gary, how can you say that? Well, at this present moment, when you lay your hands on the blind, do they see? Then you're going to change. Because he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. This is not stuff for ministers. This is not just for the fivefold. You got enough. Every believer, we should be casting out devils at Walmart, you know, laying hands on the sick, seeing them recover in our business offices. Man, this is not for church. This is for life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm getting a white hanky. Glory to God. I know I'm doing good now. So I hope you understand that's part and parcel of why we're doing this weekend. I think that's one of the reasons why he laid it on my heart. It began teaching my people how to receive instructions from heaven so that the church can start operating in his power according to what God can do instead of just what man can do. Amen? All right. That's my introduction. Now we'll get started with the message. Go to John 14. Hallelujah. John 14. Well, I reckon it did tie in, didn't it? I guess the Lord knew what he was doing. Hallelujah. I'm going to look at this again. Well, I'm not going to read that passage again tonight. I think most of you have heard it every night that we've been here. But basically what we're talking about, we all go through those periods of times where we need to hear instructions from heaven. I mean, what we need answers. We got decisions to make. And if you love God enough to be in these meetings on a Thursday night in America, I already know you're after His will, not yours. Amen. See, and in order to do that, we've got to be able to hear Him. See, you've got to be able to follow somebody that in the natural we can't see. We talked about that. But we can see Him and we can hear Him with our spirit. We can discern what He wants. So we're learning. I feel like we're like in the second grade or something. We're just learning how to do this. But I got a feeling the Holy Ghost is a good teacher. If I can encourage you, excite you, beg you, I'd almost pay you. I would. To get into your prayer closet more so you can be trained one-on-one. Your born-again spirit locked up in there with the teacher of the church, the Holy Ghost. I believe he could train you pretty quick. Hey, if they can take an old boy from Pottawatomie County and teach him how to be an engineer in 4 years, just according to man's way of teaching, I reckon the Holy Ghost could do a pretty fast work if somebody gave him enough time to teach their spirit. Wouldn't that be something? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So what we've been talking about is hearing instructions, because the way he put it to me, I was having trouble because he was right. My thinking, it's not that he was withholding those instructions. The reason I wasn't hearing them, I wasn't listening in the right place. It was like my thinking was in this box called man. And I'm basically listening to hear instructions of what he wants me to do. And sometimes he does have stuff he wants you to do. Go loose the coat, you know, that kind of thing. Go prepare the upper room. Sometimes he does... But really, the kind of thing we're talking about, he's saying, the kind of instructions you're really after are the kind when you hear from heaven, you hear the mind of Jesus, because if you'll do that, then it releases the Holy Spirit and His power to get the work done, so that we do it in God's strength and not man's. Now, let me mention this. I want to give you, I know of at least two, maybe three examples we're going to get to tonight. He hadn't even begun to tell me what we're going to do tomorrow night. We'll just find out when we get here, I reckon. Okay? Now watch this. See, now we mentioned about the gifts of the Spirit because we need instructions both ways. And I don't care whether you're in the fivefold or whether you're just Joe Believer. Okay? You are a minister of Christ. I'm ministering from a pulpit. You may be ministering to the person that works next to you on the job. Or you may be ministering to your children right now if you're raising children. But all of us are ministers for Christ, are we not? All right, now you'll notice this. The gifts of the Spirit, normally, when they show up, that normally is ministry for others. You remember that lady? Again, the example. Eat what is set before you. See, now that was a gift of the Spirit that showed up for her. All right? Now that one that I mentioned, it was either last night or night before, that whole deal about $4,000 a month. $4,000 a month. Now that had more direct leadership implications for me and how to operate our ministry, because that's what released the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts of people in order to cause money to come in to pay for what He wanted us to do. See? But He'd already taught me previous things that we'd acted on, like separating provision from payout. That tape last night is called The Benefits of Cumulative Obedience. He couldn't have even done the $4,000 thing with me if I was still living in the mode of, well, that of that $4,000, $3,600 is mine and $400 is his. That's not going to get it done, see. So we have to go back before that, obedience before that, so that He could speak that to me now, and it would work. You got it? Sandala brastori, ankita la brastondoro breka. I'm going to give you an example of, we're going to look at two ways tonight. We're going to look again at some of the gifts of the Spirit, just practical things, how this works. When He wants to do something according to God's power and not according to just what we normally would do. I call it the difference between a Gary prayer and a God prayer. Let's look at the ministry side first. Let me give you a couple of those. One time we were at the prayer center. Again, I don't know why it is. People come up to me after the line and want me to pray. I guess they're embarrassed, or something. It's okay, but here it was again, another deal. We'd already had a prayer line, already prayed. I've already wore out. That's okay. But she came up and she was having back pain right here in the small of her back. And she just asked me if I'd pray. She said, "Boy, my back is just killing me," I don't know exactly, but just really hurting me. And would you please pray? I'm fixing to do a Gary prayer. How would y'all pray? Father, I just thank you, Lord, for, healing her back, and I command this back to be normal. And normally that's what we do, and many times the anointing of God shows up. But now watch the difference when a gift of the Spirit shows up. Now, I was just fixing to lay my hands on her and pray, which is what I would normally do, probably what you would normally do when I had a mini vision. Remember, one of the ways that we do it, one of the ways that it happens is by visions. This was one of those internal visions. But see, she was standing and I was standing, and I was just fixing to lay my hands on her, and I had this little vision. I saw her sitting in a chair. And I've seen people minister to people that way before, where you sit them down in a chair. I don't normally do that. But I saw this little vision. I said, "Well, apparently the Lord wants you to sit in a chair. Can y'all see okay? Can we pretend there's a chair right here? Can you see me okay? Let me get up here for right now, because I'm going to have to kneel. So let's just pretend, here's a chair." This will be okay. I like visual demonstrations. One picture is worth 1,000 words. So I was fixing to pray for her, and she says, then I had this little vision. So I said, "Well, I see you sitting there. Would you mind to sit right there?" Because I was just going to pray for her back. And so she sat right there. Well, then in this little vision, it's rolling, and I see her sticking her legs straight out and me kneeling like this. Can you see me? And I said, "Well, would you mind to put your ankles, let me lift up your ankles right like this?" And when I did, I said, "Now sit as flat in that chair with your back against the back of the chair, square as you can." She did. Boy, when I held those ankles up and looked at the bottom of her shoes, there was a good 1.5-inch difference. And it was quite a bit, and I'm going, "Boy, I think I see part of the problem. Something's out of a line here. No wonder she's having back pain." So again, a series of these things. Again, I'm fixing to pray a Gary prayer. And the Holy Ghost interrupted me. He said, just say the name Jesus. No, you know, it's like nothing else. Now, you got to get the picture. I've got this nice lady's ankles. I'm on my knees. I can feel her, you know, it's right behind her heel. I've just got, right, you know, the part right behind, you know, her ankle laying across each palm. And so I've got my eyes closed. You know, I mean, she's got a skirt on, okay? Let's talk real here. I mean, I'm trying to be nice. Trying to obey the Holy Ghost. And so he told me what to say. So all I did, instead of praying anything else, I just went, Jesus! And the instant I did, I felt that right ankle slide across my palm. My eyes didn't stay shut. I mean, it was instantaneous, and I felt it, and it moved about an inch and a half. It moved a bunch. You could feel it. And I mean, my eyes opened, and when I looked at her, her eyes was as wide as mine. And I went, did you do anything? She went, no. I said, I didn't either. Oh, my God. And I'm holding her. Now I'm looking at the bottom of her shoes. Perfect. Perfect. I said, stand up. Stand up. Boy, she gets up. She goes, oh, yeah. Oh, I haven't felt like this in 10 years. Oh, yeah. Boy, the first time something like that happens, you're never the same again. I mean, I felt that slide across my palm. And I tell you, let me just help you. Let me just help you. I'm giving a report. I was tired. I didn't feel super spiritual. I wasn't drunk. You know, I wasn't gone. Be honest with you, I was tired. I wanted to go home. It wasn't me. Boy, if we could ever walk with Him like that, I wonder how many of your people, you know, just things, if we just learn to listen and do it His way, not add to it, not take away from it, like Sue, you know, like Sue gave that little deal last night. She was fixing to give the lady more money, and he said, no, that would be adding to my word. That's not what I said do. We just do what He tells us, and then leave the results up to Him. Wonder how many folks we'd win to Jesus. Not only around here, but eventually, if He ever got us trained like that, I got a feeling He'd be sending some of us to the Muslim land and Hindu land and Buddha land. Show them something. See, we have let the gospel degenerate. Whew. Y'all, it's too warm in here. Not the Holy Ghost, it's heat. Although He is here. I know He is. There He is. Right there. No. Anyway, for benefit of the tape, He helped me illustrate the other night. He stood in and represented the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Now, can you see how that was words of knowledge? And they came primarily, the first one came by vision form. And then I heard, so now we've got two involved. We've got a vision, and then I heard His voice.
Right.
See? And the combination of those two things accomplished something that I couldn't do. And, I mean, if this lady's had back trouble for years, most likely something that the doctors hadn't been able to do. And in just an instant, the Holy Spirit solves the problem and just gets the whole thing done. Isn't that wonderful? We need more of that. But now you can see how the gifts of the Spirit in that case, see how they did, that wasn't so much for my walk. In other words, it didn't tell me what to do as far as my personal walk. And most often with the gifts of the Spirit, when they show up, it is for ministry. It is for you to minister to somebody else. Oh, it's so, boy, now I know pastors had this happen many times. Gifts of the Spirit especially operate in the pastoral office. Because You know, I just wonder how many times somebody's it's dangerous to invite me to your church. You know how I am. Somebody giving you some cock and bull story about how God is failing them. You know, well, my business is going bad and this is happening and I've been praying and I've been confessing. And about that time, the gifts of the Spirit show up and the Holy Spirit shows you that that old boy is cheating on his wife. It even gives you the name of his mistress. I mean, you know, this kind of stuff happens. And so he's going on and on and on with his, you know how they do. And about that time, you know, he says, God, you know, you say, well, I don't want to be rude or anything, but the Holy Ghost says, a lot of your problems will end if you quit sleeping with Myrtle. You know, if that's his mistress's name, you know. You know? You reckon we're about to get real now. See? That kind of stuff there that allows the Holy Ghost to go right for the jugular. Now, normally the Holy Ghost would not embarrass a person. That counseling type thing would probably be taking place in closed doors, not normally from the pulpit. But if it's serious enough, and especially if it's a minister, it can happen from the pulpit. But anyway, that's another deal. All right, so there's one on gifts of the Spirit ministry outward. Let me see what he wants. Okay, let me give you another one while we're in that vein. This was early on. This was while we were still doing the Bible studies in our home. So it had to be 96 or 97, thereabouts. We're very young in these things, just learning. And we were having that Bible study, and one of the ladies that came all the time, at the end of the Bible study, of course, we'd invite people up if they needed prayer. Well, she'd come up and she wanted to stand in for a friend, just like several of you did. That's fine. And you know how we prayed. Normally, we just pray. Well, she came up and I was fixing to do my Gary prayer, just like you would. And, she explained what the situation was. She had a friend that lived up in Kansas. Of course, we live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Where this friend lived was probably 200 miles away. But she was going up there to visit her the following weekend. And her friend, I said, well, what's the problem? What is it that we're believing for? Her friend had a real bad, and she's young, only around 30-ish. She had lactose intolerance. Y'all know what that is? That's where you can't eat dairy products. And, I mean, even in her 30s, she had it so bad, early 30s, I think, she had it so bad, she couldn't eat anything but like mashed potatoes made with milk. Mashed potatoes made with water. Yeah, mashed potatoes made with water. I like mashed potatoes made with milk. But anyway, mashed potatoes made with water. That's about all she could eat anymore. Because anything else, she'd break out in hives and had a horrible rash. And the doctor said, you know, if it could get bad enough, you could die because it just caused a terrible reaction in her body. So this is what the person at our Bible study was coming up. She was telling me all this. We're just standing there. We're fixing to do a Gary and Sue prayer, you know, just do a regular prayer. And those work. I'm not implying that they don't. But I am, what we're talking about is learning to hear instructions from heaven. Well, fixing to just pray, and all of a sudden I'm hearing stuff that I have never heard in my life. Remember? I backed up. I was almost like, Lord, you're going to have to say that about two more times. Let me hear that again. And he did. I heard it again. Now, here was his instructions. I said, you going up there this weekend? Yeah. I said, here's the instructions I'm hearing from heaven. We are going to pray for you. We're going to have everybody in the Bible study come up, and we're all going to pray for you. We're all just going to lay hands, you know, as close as everybody couldn't touch her, but so if you got as close as you can, you touch somebody who was touching her. You know what I'm saying? And then I said, here's what the Holy Ghost says. As we pray, you are going to become a healing package. He is going to fill you with healing virtue for your friend. And as you go, travel up there, you are to praise Him and thank Him that you're carrying His healing virtue to your friend. And then when you get there, tell her what happened. Don't do it without telling her. Telling her what we did at the instruction of the Holy Ghost, and tell her boldly, when you pray for her, she will be healed instantly. She's going, did I say that all right? She's going, shaking like a leaf. Okay. Because she's not a real bold type person. She's kind of a, you know, meek and mild type person. Boy, we heard the testimony later. She said all the way up there, fear and trembling. Oh my God, I have to tell her first. I have to tell her all this. She's born again, but this is a little out there, you know. And I think the Lord gave her a scripture that says God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I said, now you, that's you. Don't you be operating in no spirit of fear. You do exactly what the Holy Ghost says. So she would quote that and quote that. Sure enough, bless her little darling heart. She gets up there. She tells her friend about it. Says, I'm going to pray for you and the Lord's going to heal you instantly. Prays for her. Feels nothing. No brush of angels' wings. No Gabriel's trumpet sound. Heavens didn't open, you know, and liquid glory pour down. It was like a dead fish on a doorknob. Okay? I mean, as far as what you could feel. So she just prayed for her. And in the natural, nothing. You know what the friend said? Let's go in the kitchen. Goes in the kitchen. Because apparently your husband doesn't have lactose intolerance, so they had milk and stuff. Takes milk out of the refrigerator. Waiting for the hives to come, you know. Waiting. And normally they show up in about 15 minutes. They're waiting. No hives. They're waiting. 30 minutes goes by, no hives. 45 minutes, no hives. She said, you know, I think there's some leftover pizza in there. I haven't been able to eat pizza in years. Goes in there and gets some pizza, leftover pizza, puts it in the microwave, pours some more milk, sits down, eats pizza, drinks milk, waits for the hives. No hives ever came. She was so healed. Her and her husband were so, can I say, impressed by the power of God, they packed up and left Kansas and moved to Tulsa for training.
Amen.
Says, we find God is alive, God is real. He goes, I know I had lactose intolerance. I know that I'm healed. I got to go find out more about this. Now you see, when truth shows up, when the life of Jesus begins to be manifest, I mean, people will pack up and move halfway across the country. People will change. People will do things. But they've got to see God. Now see, when I was talking that earlier about how we've let the gospel degenerate to a powerless thing, you know, just, and thank God, don't get me wrong, thank God, hey, thank God for every drunk that gets saved and delivered off of alcohol, thank God. I mean, it's not like we don't have something. But it's a far cry from the book of Acts. Will you give me that? See? So we've let the gospel degenerate. See, Jesus did not train His disciples to witness the way we train the church today. See, basically, we'll, you know, and when I say these things, y'all know I'm not against passing out tracts. For crying out loud, I'm for that. I'm for feeding the poor and all the things that we do. But now see, the way we normally do it, we might send a team. We might train up some young people, send a team into an area like where we would know that there's people that need to be saved. We'd send them in there and tell them to preach and maybe hand out tracts. And the, you know, kind of the attitude we've had is, well, maybe they'll get saved. Hallelujah. But if they don't, you know, well, we preach the gospel. So we just kind of brush the dust off our hands and, you know, have to shake the dust off our feet and go on to the next
the next county or the next place. That is not the way Jesus sent out the 12. It is not the way Jesus sent out the 70. He said he would send them out all right with words. He would say, you preach, you tell them, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, if Sue is at hand, that means I can touch her. I can get her. Well, when the kingdom of God is at hand, you can have it. See? That's what they're preaching. We're preaching that now. But then he said, don't just preach it. He says, preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, raise the dead, and then, if they won't receive you, shake the dust off your feet. Hallelujah! If we'd have been doing that in the Muslim world, 9-1-1 wouldn't have happened. Now, judgment begins at the house of God. And it's not like God judging America like they were so many of them saying. No, we're just reaping the whirlwind of complacency, the fruit of complacency. That's what it is. So little fasting, so little prayer, so little of that delivered all the way to death so that the life of Jesus can be made manifest in my mortal flesh. So little of that. And we've basically degenerated to where we've got a gospel in word only. We know our Bibles. They know their Koran. You know? We preach to them. They preach at us. They can't produce any power. Neither can we. We both go home mad. Nobody's changed. Boy, we need to get back to that spirit of Elijah up on Mount Carmel. He says, you bring all the prophets of Baal, bring all those priests in here. So we're going to put the sacrifice up here. You pray in the name of your God. I'll pray in the name of my God. And the God who answers by fire, that's God. Boy, we need some of that, don't we? Now that's got everything to do with that word from the prophet I shared with you. And religion is not going to like you if you're going to be one of those that's chosen. If you're going to make yourself one of those that's chosen. Lord, I'm a candidate to be a remnant. Bring that sword right over here. Cut me out to be with you. Bring it right over here, Lord. Anything that ain't of you, cut it off. You know? Isn't that right? Hallelujah, see? Glory to God. All right, well now let's talk about some power in our own life. Now we're talking about direction for us now. I gave you two examples when it comes to gifts of the Spirit and how it makes all the difference. Hearing from heaven. Now again, yes, sir. Oh my God. Again, this is good for you. This is good for you. I'm going to lead you in a confession. The Holy Spirit is with me. Forever. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He is my friend. He is my counselor. I'm following Jesus by following the Holy Ghost. I'm from heaven. The Holy Ghost is from heaven. He brings news from home. News from home is easy for me to hear. I say by faith, I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more clearly and more easily than any other voice on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the way, that is the truth. And we have got to start believing that and thinking like that and talking like that until we change. We got to get our expector up. We got to, lack of awareness that He's with you brings a lack of expectation for all these things. You don't even think to ask Him. You don't even think to listen with your spirit. And it's not as hard as you think. Can you hear your conscience? You can hear your spirit. Your Boy, if you haven't ever writ this down, if you ever haven't ever, going into tongues or something, if you have not ever written this down, write it down now or write it down when you get the tape, okay? I know, everybody's not ready. The voice of your conscience is the voice of your new nature. It is the voice of your spirit. And if you can hear your conscience, don't you even be telling me you can't hear the Holy Ghost. He speaks through. You've only got one spirit. If you can, if you've got a conscience, something that says you about to do it, and something says no. You know what I'm talking about, that conscience. If you can hear that no, you can hear the Holy Ghost. Because He speaks through the same place. He speaks through your new nature. Yeah, but Gary, that takes all my excuses away. Awful, ain't it? It's awful. I know. I had to go through that my own self. It's awful. If you can hear your conscience, you can hear the Holy Ghost. Now, it may don't get me wrong. Practice makes perfect. But you get better with practice. But just the awareness that He's with us to the come here, Holy Ghost again. Thank God. Everyone say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Glory. Now see, most of us, now just stay right here, Holy Ghost. Now we'll do it this way. No, because even when I'm not aware of Him, now I've got a real, for benefit of the tape, I've got to remember people can't see what I'm doing. I've got my friend come up here again, and he's representing the Holy Ghost. And we've got him up here because somebody, you need to see somebody to have this awareness, see? Now, so he's going to walk right along beside me. And what we got to understand, the Holy Ghost is with us whether we're aware of Him or not. So you and I are just going to walk together stride for stride right across here. But see, I'm trying to make decisions. Boy, I don't know whether we need to go this way. I don't know whether we need to go that way. And you're right there. The Holy Ghost is right there, but I'm not even thinking to check. Boy, I wish there was some way I could hear from heaven. For benefit of the tape, he's over here going, pointing at himself, going, I'm here. You need to hear from heaven. I'm right here. And here I am worrying myself up and staying up all night long and calling pastor for counseling about every 2 hours. And all the time, the Holy Ghost, who is truth and wisdom Himself, is right there with me. Now, here's the way it ought to be. Holy Spirit, I'm so glad that you and I are walking together. I'm glad Jesus did not leave me an orphan. There's never anything I'll ever come up against that you don't have the answer for. Isn't that right, Holy Ghost? Talk to me now. Talk to me, son. Yes. Work with me. Work with me. Yes. I asked you. Yes. Should I give Pastor Christie a big offering?
Yes.
Yes, he says. Hallelujah. See? Now we know we're hearing the Holy Ghost. Thank you very much. Yes. Give the Holy Ghost a hand here. Right? He said, that was God, right? That was God. Hallelujah. People, I know that's simple. That has exactly been the problem. We go through life. I got to tell you this part because this is the second time he's told me. And you got to get this. Get this tape now. Get this tape. Your life's going to be involved in it. He said to me this one time. I may have already told you. Remember, I've been preaching this in several churches. If I told it to you before, it'll be good to hear it again. But when he brings it up, then I have to believe that there's something that you need to hear it. By the way, I used to take great comfort in preaching from notes. And I got so many of those mysteries stored on the inside through praying in other tongues and writing them down, that the day came, he says, you can't minister that way anymore. He says, now you've become a steward of the mysteries. And he says, you don't know who's there. I do. And for you to try and pre-plan the message, you'll miss it. He says, you're going to have to rely on me from here on to bring the mysteries up, put them in the sequence that makes sense, so I can minister to the people that are really there. Now see, there is an instruction right there from heaven. Changed our ministry forever. Okay, that's an instruction from heaven. Now sometimes if you ever see me with a note, all it is like a certain scripture or verse that I don't have memorized. and it tells me where to go. But that's about all he'll let me do anymore. And so they ask me titles ahead of time, and I don't even know what the message is most of the time. You know, I mean, sometimes I know where to start, and sometimes I don't. But here's what you needed to hear, because he's brought it up twice now. I'm going to do my best to quote word for word. This was in another one of those face-to-face documents. And again, if you haven't heard this before, many of these things that I'm teaching from right now came during 1998 when I had that long period of time, 8 to 12 hours a day I could spend alone in prayer. And boy, the Holy Ghost just began talking with me, and I would, as he would speak, I would speak it into a recorder. I got a little micro cassette recorder, and then later we'd transcribe it, you know, type it out. And I put about, I don't know, 15 to 20 of them together, and we call that the face-to-face documents. They're free if you want them. I don't have them on tape, but they're in printed form. And what they're for, there's a little teaching at the beginning telling you exactly how they came to me, how I got that. And then the idea is, here's a sample. Here's 15 or 20 of them. So you can kind of see what's available for you if you'd like to go pay that same price. What I'm talking about, flesh price. My flesh, to this day, never yet has got excited about prayer. My flesh gets excited about football games. My flesh gets excited about Star Trek movies. No, that's just my deal. Okay. And Starbucks coffee. It really gets, and Krispy Kreme donuts. Glory to God. One reason I like to go to Dayton. Now, this is only partial. This is true. Now, I'm telling you, one reason I like to go, there's a certain part of town, there's a Krispy Kreme donut on a store on that corner and a Starbucks on that one. Man, I'm coming out with Krispy Kremes in one hand and Starbucks in the other. That's about as close to heaven as you're going to get on this earth. Yeah. Yeah. For this old boy. Anyway. But anyway, he said this to me one day, and apparently you need to hear it. He said, "Think not that I am only with you." That's the Holy Spirit talking to me. "Think not that I am only with you when your performance meets certain standards. I am the friend that has been sent to abide with you forever. I have seen you at your best, and I have seen you at your worst. I cannot be shocked. I cannot be surprised. I can be grieved, and I can be pleased, but my fellowship with you is not so fragile that I would abandon you when I see your failings. You have earthly friends who love you more than that. Think you not that I love you more than they? Don't ever forget the blood of the Lamb. The blood is always there to cleanse you. The blood is always there to wash you whiter than snow. Son, as long as you don't give up on the blood, I will never give up on you." Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My best friend on this planet, he and I we knew each other starting in about the seventh grade. We've known each other all, how many of you know, for me at my age now, that was a long time ago. We're still friends to this day. Now, he has seen me at my best over all these years, and he has seen me at my worst. And you know what? He's still my friend. If I was in trouble, he'd still help me. God forbid, if something was to happen to me, he'd be there to help my wife. You understand what I'm talking about? And it'd be reversed too if something happened to him. Trust me, we got help for them, his family. Friends, or we have earthly friends that we trust more than the Holy Ghost. See, because we've been brainwashed religiously. Jesus said, "I'm sending you this other comforter to abide with you how long?" See, in one sense of the word, because the Holy, you know, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and I do it like that, but they're all co-equal. Dave does it like this. He said, if you could see all three of them somehow, and they were, you know, the three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're equal in stature. I mean, they eye to eye, nose to nose, breast, you know, chest to chest. They're all equal, but they have chosen of their own free will to take these roles in the kingdom. God the Father is above all. During this period of time, Jesus is Lord. You know the time's going to come, the Bible says, when He's going to turn the kingdom back over to the Father. You remember that? But during this dispensation, God the Father, then Jesus is Lord over all. And the Holy Spirit has chosen to subordinate Himself to enforce or bring to pass the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We see all that? So the Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus, as God the Father. See? But we've been religiously brainwashed to think, boy, you better not. See, religion used to have me think that about the Father. Like He was some bearded, long bearded, white, you know, white bearded ancient thing sitting up in heaven with a big ball bat long enough to reach all the way from heaven to earth. And boy, He just waiting for me to mess up and crack my noggin. You know? You know, say, oh darn, smack, ooh. I won't do that no more. You know? And that's the way they had me think about my Father. And nothing's further from the truth. Which of you fathers was like that with your children? See? Now we do correct our children, but we do it in love. You're not ever which of y'all, if you had to, they tell you stuff about God that's so, you'd have to be absolutely crazy to believe it. I mean, I was raised in I don't want to say it that way, but it's true. They still teach. Well, you know, God may, yeah, you just really messing up so bad now. The only way God can correct you, He's going to have to put cancer on you. Now, see, I was taught that kind of stuff. A lot of people are still being, you know. Maria Woodworth Eder, even though she was used in miracles, she believed because she believed that God killed her children because her children were standing between her and God. See? There ain't no such thing. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In your wildest dreams, can you see Jesus going around killing little children? How about putting cancer on anybody? Well, if He didn't, neither does the Father. See? You know? But they'll tell you stuff like that, like, oh yeah, you know, God, He'll just put cancer on you, you know, and out there correct you. And now see, if my earthly father, who is still alive, he's 83, O.R. Carpenter, and I tell you, he's a man's man. He broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip, and nobody don't give no lip to O.R. now, even at his 83. Okay? You don't mess with my daddy. But now see, he's been a good daddy all my life. He's not a perfect man, but he's a good man. And if you was to try, see, because if somebody was to try and tell me, let's say my daddy somehow did have the power to put cancer on people. Just somehow, maybe he did. Somebody come and tell me that O.R. Carpenter put cancer on somebody, you and I are going to step out behind the barn. We're going to duke it out. You're not going to talk about my daddy that way. First off, you don't know him at all. I do, and he would never do anything like that. See? But you know why we'll listen to that trash about our Heavenly Father? Because we don't know Him very well. Well, how do I get to know Him? If you've seen me, Jesus said. You've seen the Father. There was a period of time I was going through there, and I would just, boy, anything I'd see Jesus doing, I know that's what the Father did. And anything I didn't see Jesus doing, and I knew the Father didn't do that. To tell me stuff, go to one of them funerals for a 5-year-old child, you know. I've been to more than one where they said this. Well, God, because they can't explain it, see. And well, God the Father looked around heaven, and He was looking at His garden in heaven. And He needed one more flower to make His garden complete. So He looked down on earth and He saw our little Rosie. And He said, that would be the perfect flower. So God in His love, He just reached down. You got to watch how they say stuff. God in His love, He just reached down and He plucked our little Rosie and took him up to heaven. Yeah, right. And so, and now Rosie makes that perfect flower, and now his garden in heaven is complete. Now, see, when you say it like that, they flower it up with. And I've never done it yet. I always want to stand up and, you know, like this, which you can't do in the middle of a funeral. I mean, you just can't. People are hurting too bad. But boy, you want to. You want to stand up and say, "Sir, did you just say that God comes down to earth and kills little five-year-old girls just because he wants to?" That's what he said. But he phrased it in these religious terms, you know. Boy, if you believe that kind of stuff, how are you going to trust him? See? Jesus, if you say, "Well, how do I get to know him?" Look at Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All right, this is my first closing. For those on my mailing list, what does that mean? Nothing at all. But I want to give you this example of, we gave two of ministry by the gifts of the Spirit to others. Now I want to give you one that happened very recently, just the last couple of months, just last month, really, on something to do with leadership for us. How many of y'all have ever needed some money? Can I see your hand? Now, that's for benefit of the tape, that's just about everybody in the room. Now, this is a different one from that $4,000 a month thing. So listen up, I haven't told you this one. We were coming near the end of the year 2002, and the way it's always been, every year since we've been in ministry, when we finish the year, we've always finished debt-free. Everyone say, "Thank you, Lord, hallelujah, praise God." And what I mean by that, I don't mean just current on the payments. See, Visa loves you, or any of them love you, if you make minimum payments. That's when they make their money. They don't really love you so much if you pay it off in full every month. Well, we've always finished the year with not just current on everything, but I mean with every bill paid in full. Absolutely a clean slate. Well, we were coming near the end. Now, see, we've had such growth in this last year. I mean, just tremendous. This was, you know, we bought the duplicators. I told you all about that. We bought all three computers. We bought on and on and on, plus adding two new employees and just the expenses for the tapes and the bubble mailers. It's just been a lot of money. So anyway, we're approaching the end of the year, about 3 or 4 weeks away from the first of the year, and I get in there and I go through the books and looking at and the bills and looking at everything. And even though everything is current, if something doesn't happen with our normal income, we had our postage. We owed about $2,850. We were current on the payment. They just loved me to pieces, you know, where the payment's made. But there was still a balance there of about $2,850. And then we'd done some traveling ministry like we're doing now. We usually do that on our American Express card. And there was about 3,000. The two of them together was right at 6,000. So I'm just talking to the Father and really talking, what I mean by that, talking with the Holy Ghost, talking with the Father, same thing. And I'm saying, Father, every year before, I've always been able to give the testimony that when the clock struck midnight and the year turned, we've always been able to end every year debt-free. And even though that's not something you actually promised me, that's just something I've really enjoyed being able to tell. And I said, "Father, you know, it says what things whatsoever we desire, that I really would like to end this year debt-free so I could continue that testimony." But see, I've learned instead of just, because you never know what he's going to say, I've learned instead of just praying real quick, I'm learning a little better to listen to the one that's with me. So, I'm listening. See what he might say. Yes, sir. Go to John. Are you in? Where are you guys? John 14. Did I ever read out of it? I am becoming Dave's disciple. That's the way Dave does all the time. Hallelujah. Open the Bible and just starts quoting it instead of reading it, you know. Let's look at one thing that Jesus told us about the Holy Spirit. Come on down to John 14. Look at verse 26. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." Now get this. and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. All right, so now, he's going to teach us all things, and then also, if we need it, he's going to remind us of things that Jesus has already said. You see that? So I'm listening. I got this $6,000 issue, and I'm just listening. And in this case, the Holy Spirit, this verse, something Jesus had already said, just began floating up in my spirit. I don't know how else it would come to my mind. I'm just trying to be quiet and listen. And what's coming is this verse. And the verse was, you all know it, it's out of Matthew 6, where you don't have to turn there, where Jesus says, I just heard this part. It says, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him. And there was actually a little pause the way I heard it, like an emphasis on before you ask Him. That's the way I was hearing it. Huh. Then, I heard that a couple of times. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him. So I'm still listening, praying. Okay, I heard that. Pretty soon another verse starts floating up. I don't know how, that's the only way I know how to describe it. I'm just quiet, and this other verse starts coming. It's out of the book of James. You have not, because you ask not. All right, now, you still in John? Come right on down to chapter 16, verse 23. Here's a third witness for you. I didn't hear this verse, but here's a third witness out of this same John 14, 15, 16, same passage we've been studying. So John 16, verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Now the most important part in that verse is the phrase, in my name. Most Christians do not know what that means. Most of them, and I used to be like this, it's like almost like a lucky rabbit's foot, or like a seal of a guarantee. So when you're real carnal and you're just starting out, and I'm going to give you an example that I was not this bad. Don't write me no letters. I was not this bad. But when everybody, when you first get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you haven't had much time to be transformed yet. So Dave says we're still pretty much little flesh creatures then. You know, we're still more moved by our desires than His desires. So in the early days, I'm going to make an example. I was never this bad, but it'll get the point across. Here's the way I thought in His name worked. Oh, it says right here, whatsoever I ask the Father in His name, the Father will give it to me. Boy, this is good news. And remember, I'm a young Christian. I'm still pretty carnal. Not that I'm not still, but I was more carnal then than I am now. So here's an example. Father, this is great because I have always wanted a different color Cadillac car for every day of the week. And this is great. I can ask you for it. So, Father, I'm asking you for 7 Cadillac cars, new ones. I want 7 new Cadillac cars, and I'd like a different color so I could drive a different color Cadillac car every day of the week. Oh, in Jesus' name. Now, see, that's what I thought. And a lot of Christians, that's what they think. I can just ask for anything my flesh desires, and as long as I tack on in Jesus' name, it's almost like the Father goes, I got to give it now. How dumb can we be and still breathe, you know? Let me tell you what in Jesus' name means. In the name of Jesus. That would be like a... See, the name of our ministry, just a little ministry, is GCM, Gary Carpenter Ministries. All right? I have accounts set up with various vendors, places where we get tapes, places where we get office supplies. I can send any one of our staff over there, if we have an account set up, and I can send them to go get three boxes of printer paper or anything else. Now, they're going in my name. See? To get the printer paper. Why? We got business to do and we need printer paper. And as long as they're going in my name, they can sign for that and bring it home. And that's what this is talking about. This is not an ironclad guarantee for you to gratify your flesh. This is as you do the message we're talking about this week. Get in the prayer closet. Finally start finding out what He's called you to do. Start going that direction. And you start finding out His call. Now your whole life is about doing things in His name, what He's called you to do. And His guarantee is, in that case, you can ask the Father for anything as long as you're on my mission, and He will give it to you. Get these old 56-year-old feet to dancing here now. That's what it's talking about. Doesn't that make sense? That makes perfect sense. So, I kept hearing that come up, and I'm going, well, Lord, as far as I know, we're operating this tape ministry just exactly the way You told us to do it. It wasn't our idea. And Lord, I was listening for the Holy Spirit. He says that You already know what I have need of before I ask You, and that I have not because I ask not. So it's You and I discussed all this before we prayed. That's a real good counsel. Discuss it with your wife. Always be in agreement. We talked about it. I said, you see anything wrong if we just ask the Father for $6,000 and don't tell nobody else about it? She said, that sounds good to me. So we just prayed together, and just as simple a little prayer as you can imagine. Father, we're just asking You in the name of Jesus for an additional $6,000 above and beyond the normal income so that we can finish the year 2002 debt-free and have that testimony again. We thank You for it, Father. We know You hear us when we pray. We thank You for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, date it. Write it out. Put it in a ring binder. Thank Him for it every day. That's for our benefit. So we're not moving Him. That's for us. So we don't forget. Okay. Time goes by. Times go by. We're getting closer and closer to the first. No extra money's coming in. Just about the normal income. Nothing's changed. We're getting closer and closer to the first. What are you doing, Gary? Are you worrying and fretting? Oh, you must be kidding. No. The only thing every day, go through that little ring binder. Oh, I thank You, Father. Sue does it a different, I don't think she keeps a ring binder. She just, her memory's better than mine. So she just goes, Father, I just thank You for the $6,000 and we finished the year debt free. Thank You that You heard us when we prayed. Thank You, Lord. And go about our business. Well, we're about, 7 or 8 days before the end of the year. Now, our middle daughter, Angie, she's the one that makes the bank deposits and handles QuickBooks and does payroll and all that stuff. And we have a donations page at our website. We primarily set that up so people overseas, because people were sending us checks made out in rands and Deutschmarks and all these different kinds of currencies. Some of them we never could get cashed. We never could get deposited because, it's just a mess. All that, conversion rates and it changes by the minute. This one person sent us a check. I thought it was a wonderful thing. It's something like 100 rand. But glory to God, 100 rand. I didn't know that was worth about 90 cents. I didn't know. It was something like about a dollar or two, something like that. We finally got that one cashed. It cost me $25. It's reasons like that we finally, we went ahead and set up that donations page where they could do it through, because you let Visa or MasterCard or whoever, they'll handle all that. So somebody in Australia or anywhere, if they want to make a donation, they can. And let Visa worry about all that stuff. And don't have to mess with that. And I have a real strong teaching. Those of you that's ever been there on that page, I have a strong teaching there. Don't you even think about going into debt to give to this ministry. That is not the mind of God. It is never the mind of God. Do I have time for some prophet lying? I'll come back. I won't forget about the 6,000. He coined that phrase prophesying instead of prophesying. Now, I don't care how many degrees are behind a person's name. I don't care how much they're on TV, and I'm not against anybody. I'm just here to tell you the truth. These phrases I'm about to tell you are all lies. There is a special blessing for people who give X number of dollars or more tonight. How many of you have ever been in a meeting and they say, "Oh God, I'm hearing the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute." There is a special blessing for those who give $500 or $1,000. Every time you ever hear that, and I don't care who says it, it's a lie. Because God is no respecter of persons. How could there be a special blessing for somebody who has the $500 to give and somebody else who would give 10 times that much if they had it, but they just don't have it? Now, that is a lie. Here's another one. This is bonus. No extra charge for these. What you need to do is you just need to maximize your credit cards. You need to run that Visa all the way to the max and show God your faith by giving all you can. And He wants you to maximize your credit card in order to give into whatever ministry. That's a lie every time you hear it. I don't care who says it and how much they're on TV. Gary, how can you say that so bold? Because the book says, if there is first a willing mind, yes, it is accepted according to what a person has, yes, and not according to what he has not. Yes. Now, how in God's name would it be possible then, in order for you to get God's blessing, you have to borrow what you have not in order to give?
Pretty good.
See? Prophelying. That's examples of prophelying. Standing in the office of a prophet and lying to you. I hope to God they don't go to hell for that kind of stuff. I'm serious as a box of rocks. I don't know where the dividing line is. I'm glad I'm not the judge. I know the judge of the whole earth will do what's right. Let me get back to the 6,000 because I want to try and keep this on a 90-minute tape. Here we go. So anyway, we're going along. We're getting about 7 or 8 days before the end of the year. Angie's the one that checks the donations at the donation page. We're at some kind of a service or something one night, and I don't keep my cell phone on, of course, during church. And we get back in the car. The first thing I do is turn that cell phone on, and this time there was a message. I listen to it, and it's Angie. She's all excited. She says, "Daddy, call me Daddy. Call me tonight, Daddy. I don't care how late. Call me Daddy. Daddy, can you get this message? Call me." So I call her up, and I say, "Hi, Angie. This is Daddy." She says, "Have you been to the website today? Have you checked the donation page?" "No, honey. That's your job." "I know, but have you been?" "No, I haven't been. I haven't checked it." She says, "I did." I said, Well, what? Well, so Daddy, somebody gave a $5,000 gift at the donation page. $5,000, Daddy. That's the biggest we've ever had." And she says, "Guess what? That's the only gift that person's given all year." Now see, we had told Angie, because our daughters are in training. They've heard us teach about these things for years. But now they're on the inside of the ministry. And we want them to see God. We want them to see how He provides. So we had told her, "Don't you tell nobody. Don't you do nothing." We got 5,000 of it, right? All in swoop, one thing there. And that was certainly different, above and beyond normal. But how many knows 5,000 is not 6,000? Okay, all right. So we're coming along. We come right to the last 2 or 3 days of the year. And the last payroll now has been paid. There won't be any more payrolls till 2003. All the other bills are paid. The only two things left to pay are those two that I told you about. The postage and the American Express. I look in the balance of the QuickBooks. We got $7,500. Because what had happened, there wasn't any more giant gifts, big gifts, but just enough extra little ones. 25, 45, 35, 10, 5, whatever. Every bill was paid. Now I had $7,500 left. We could pay both of those bills, have $1,500 to the good. We first started out with $10. I figure we're in tall cotton. He did it again. We finished the year again, debt free. But now, and I know I've got to finish up. Notice, now we didn't tell nobody other than Angie because we wanted her to see it. How does man, ministry especially, ministries, how would they come about? How would you go about getting an extra $6,000? You got to start telling people, don't you? You got to, you know, oh, we're in trouble. Oh, woe is me. I've never seen I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You don't have to do that, people. I would call this the power of asking. The power of asking. Sometimes, just to release the Holy Ghost, we forget to ask. We have not because we ask not. Amen? I don't ever finish anymore. I just have to quit. So for tonight, I quit.